As we gather in today, we come into what, our fourth week in the book of Psalms, I think, and we've been looking at all different types of psalms. Last week, we looked at psalms of lament, which take up over half of the book, but there are seven psalms in the book called Psalms of Penitence. I can't say that word. Why? Sorry. Repentance. And so the psalmist kind of gives us a new and unique way of looking at how we are called to repent. As we began this series, I started off by looking at different songs that speak to us, right? Songs have a way of inviting us into worship that sometimes words alone do not. Sometimes when we turn on the radio, we hear a song that just, it tells all of our feelings that we just can't express ourselves. And over these past few weeks, I've been looking at my favorite band and some of their lyrics. And one of the first songs that I ever heard Need to Breathe sing was called Washed by the Water. And when I was a church camp counselor, we used to do music videos with the kids. And this was the first song that we did with them. And the chorus goes like this. Even when the rain falls, even when the floods start rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water. So often it feels like we live in dangerous and treacherous places. Sometimes our lives feel overwhelmed and uncomfortable. But the good news is we are washed in the presence of God. As we enter into our psalm today, Psalm 51, like I said, we look at this psalm of repentance. Sometimes it's even called a Pauline psalm because Paul refers to it often in his epistles. Characteristically, if you look at the book of Psalms, when Israel faces some sort of disruption or trouble, they don't accept blame often for their plight. If you read the book of Psalms, they're often yelling to God about someone else. Look at our enemies. Look how they have destroyed us, oh God. But not very often do they say, here is where I have messed up. And so in these Psalms, there are seven of them, Psalm 51 being one of them, we get this sense that the psalmist has sinned and needs the presence of God to wash over him to make him clean. And if you read this psalm, which we're going to do here in just a second, it's kind of split up into two parts. The first part is this profound sense of confession. And the second is a series of petitions bidding for restoration. And often, this should be the very point of our confession. To see where we have sinned, but to seek restoration after. So let's read Psalm 51 together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I was preparing for this week, I found a blog post by a pastor in the Episcopal Church named Reverend Wallace, and he was talking about how he had read a New Yorker article several years ago, and it had a series of works by Flannery O'Connor. How many of you have read Flannery O'Connor? Anyone? No one? We had to read her in high school. But in this journal article, she wrote this section of journal articles that were titled, My Dear God. And when they introduced the articles, they explained that she wrote them when she was doing her studies back in 1946. And over a year and a half, she filled her journal with these entries called My Dear God. How many of you have ever written letters to God? We often offer our petitions out loud, but sometimes I think journaling them is helpful. And so she wrote these journals called My Dear God. And here's the first excerpt. She says, Dear God, I cannot love thee the way I want to. You are the slim crescent of a moon that I see, and myself is the earth's shadow that keeps me from seeing all of the moon. The crescent is very beautiful, and perhaps it is all one like I should or could see, but I am afraid of, dear God, is that my self-shadow will grow so large that it blocks out the whole moon, and that I will judge myself by the shadow that is nothing. I do not know you, God, because I am in the way. Please help me push myself aside. Oh, God, please make my mind clear. Please make me clean. She describes herself as the shadow that blocks out the moon. When we hear that word sin, which means it's translated to mean missing the mark, sin is about a separation, a disconnect away from God. And so often there are things in our lives that pull us from God's presence, that block out the divine in our lives. And so through repentance, through seeking God through these sorts of prayers, we can move ourselves out of the way so God will shine more brightly in our lives. When we read Psalm 51, which is kind of what I wonder if Flannery O'Connor had in mind when she wrote that, Psalm 51 is often attributed to King David, and it has quite a backstory. If you've ever read 2 Samuel, we kind of get the story of King David. And in chapter 11, it starts off this way. So this is 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says, in the spring of that year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent one of his officers and all of Israel with him. Late one afternoon, when David rose from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the king's house, he saw from the roof a woman bathing. She was quite beautiful. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, King David is walking along and he's looking out. And he sees a naked woman bathing. Now, most people would turn away, right? But no, not David. David decides to keep looking. And it says, So David sent one of his messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now, they didn't just cuddle, right? He impregnated her. He was the king. He used his power to go out and to get whatever woman he wanted, and he took her, and he impregnated her, it says. Now, later in the text, it says, but the thing that David had done, it displeased the Lord. David had used his power and his might to get what he wanted. He had put himself in the way of God's will. So often I feel like when we get a little bit of power, when we get the edge over something else, we might extort or do whatever we want to get our own way versus doing what is God's way. Now, this is the story of David, the one who this psalm is attributed to. Because David easily could have said, well, I'm the king, so I can do whatever I want, right? But instead, we hear in 2 Samuel that he repents and turns his life back over to God. And so we get this beautiful psalm that begins with, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your hesed. We learned that word a few weeks ago in the Hebrew. Hesed is this steadfast love, this mercy, this unconditional love that God provides for us. And it is that hesed, that steadfast love, that blots out our transgressions when we truly repent and come before God. Like King David, we all need to be cleansed of something. Perhaps it's a relationship that's unhealthy. Perhaps it's abusing something. Maybe it's forcing some figures to move around on our bank accounts to make things look better. Maybe it's spending in places we shouldn't. I don't know what it is that you need to be made clean of, but there's something that all of us do. It's time to learn from David's humble and honest response, to turn over to God for cleansing, to be forgiven. When we look at the biblical text, when it talks about repentance, there has to be a change, right? If you repent, if you say, I'm sorry, if you ask God for forgiveness, we learn in the psalm that it says, create in me a clean heart, right? Wash me clean. In the era of COVID, we're constantly washing, right? To get the virus off our hands. But we want God to wash us clean. And so it is when we repent that God transforms us and we are created into something new. And that is manifested in different ways. If we look at this from a Christian lens, we can look at Luke 3. In Luke 3, we hear the story of John the Baptist. You know that guy, right? John the Baptist, yeah. In Luke 3, we get this story where it says, in the 15th year of the reign of the emperor, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. It says, he went out into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. If we think about our baptism, it is in that moment that we seek the presence of the Spirit to wash us clean. Now, we won't be made perfect right then and there, right? We still mess up, but we're asking God and the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And so it says, John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to rise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So John has come in and he said, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And so the crowd say, then what should we do? In reply, he said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. A repentant heart manifests in certain fruits. When we are cleansed, when we are changed by God, it shows in how we speak to others, how we are in our relationships, and how we serve our neighbor. John specifically says to the crowds when they ask, what do we do? What fruit do we bear? He says, if you have two coats, share them. And if you have food, do the same. In this time, it feels because like we are so segregated off and we can't get out and do things that somehow mission has just gone away. When in fact, this is the time that we should be doing more than we ever have before. There are those in our communities who are hurting and suffering and need a coat and need food to eat. If we pray the words of Psalm 51, if we ask God to renew us and cleanse us, it's not just about changing little personal behaviors. It's about truly changing who we are inside and being servants of Jesus Christ and being disciples that share love, not just in what we say, but also in what we do. Each week, we've kind of taken an action step as a response to the text that we've heard. And one of the beautiful things about United Methodist Liturgy is we get all sorts of really awesome prayers that were written by people a lot smarter than me. And so one of our traditional prayers is called the Prayer of Confession. And in a lot of traditions, they say that prayer each and every week. And in some churches, when they do the full communion liturgy, they'll say that every month, but we kind of skip over that, right? We just dive straight into the communion liturgy. But this prayer of confession is extremely important because if we want to be transformed, we have to ask God to be made clean. And so here in just a second, I want to invite us to pray this prayer of confession. I'm going to read it once first so you can hear it and you can understand what you're about to pray, because so often words go on the screen and we just say them, right? Because they're up there, we're good Methodist. We just say what the worship planners tell you to. But I'm going to read it first, and I want you to think about what this means in your life. So the prayer of confession goes something like this. Merciful God, right? Steadfast love, God. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this prayer, we're admitting to God that we mess up. That we have failed to listen to God, and we have failed to hear the brokenness of the world and respond to it. One time I was talking about this prayer and someone said to me, I just don't like that prayer of confession because I feel like I hear the cry of the needy. And I do X, Y, Z. And I said, yes, you do wonderful work. But couldn't we always do more? There's always more people hurting than we can hear. And as our hearts are transformed, our capacity to hear the cries of the needy, to love more freely and abundantly, to love like God loves, grows. So I invite you this morning to pray this prayer with me before we move into our offering time. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.